This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Good morning and welcome to the Down to Dunk Podcast, episode 251. I'm Luke, and I'm here with Taylor, Jay, and Andrew. The boys are once again back in town.
Come on, Jay, we need drums. We need percussion.
I don't know what it is.
Guys, Luke is mad that I did episode 250 with Alex.
I know, I was really looking forward to it. Now I'm just looking forward to 300.
Yep.
Okay.
But how was it? How was talking with Alex?
I don't know. Did you not hear it?
I haven't listened to it yet. I'm driving to work today.
Come on, dog. It was great. We talked. It was an all Dion podcast. So if you've somehow reached this podcast before that one, we talked all about
Dion.
You're
going to be awfully surprised if you've never listened to it before. Oh, you're talking about if they listened to the one yesterday.
Yes.
This one first. And then, okay.
Correct.
Let's say if you just are stumbling onto our podcast for yesterday's for the first time in your listening history, you need to go back for the last year and listen to our Dion Love Fest.
Yeah, we love Dion. Alex hates Dion. And I thought I'd bring somebody on that would balance me out a little bit to talk about his contract. So we had a very reasonable conversation about Dion.
Alex hated Dion, and then he liked Dion for a little bit.
You know what?
So he's back to hating?
Well, I mean, he likes him fine.
Okay.
But well, he's...
But not for the money that they have to pay him?
Well, it just depends on... it's all dependent on what ownership
so we
wants
really,
to do. And, I mean, you just need to listen to the podcast.
We really need to go back and listen to this podcast.
Hey, Listen, if you are just tuning in to this one, go back and listen to yesterday's.
Yeah.
And then listen to this one.
You already started it. Just finish this one.
Yeah, finish this one.
No. I'm going to say stop listening to this one. You have 250 others to catch up on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hey, Luke, why don't you start us off with your first question of the
night? All right. What is Adrian Griffin?
So they're trying to replace Monty Williams as the
assistant head coach.
Well, he was the associate.
Oh, really?
Assistant coach or something like that.
I don't know. I don't know how that
where
works.
Where he's, I don't know, he's more of an assistant coach than
like
anyone
assistant
else.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, they're replacing him with a guy named Adrian Griffin. He played in the league for a long time. Actually played for the Sonics when Durant was on the Sonics.
It was part of a trade that, who was it that was in that trade? Anyway, a pretty significant trade that kind of changed the franchise a little bit.
Yeah. Luke Ridnour.
Oh, that's what it was. Never mind. No, it wasn't.
It's very significant.
I just knew it was somebody I knew. I was like, yeah, that must have been important. Nope, Luke Ridnour.
So he played in the league for a long time from 99 to 08. He was a assistant coach for the Bucks right after he retired from the league. And then he coached under Tibbs for forever with the Bulls for about 5 years.
Now, didn't he follow Scott Skiles? Isn't that who gave him his first job?
Like, yes,
I read something where he was playing for him somewhere and then ended up not being able to play. And then
yeah, because he was the assistant coach for the Bucks and they were like the Monte Ellis. Is that right? That's not right. Whenever he was the coach for the Bucks.
Yeah, and they had players on the team.
Yeah.
And there were some basketball players.
At least 10.
At least, yeah. And then he followed him to the Magic.
So
yeah.
How excited on a scale of 1 to 10 are you for Adrian Griffin?
I mean, I'm 10. I'm just going crazy.
So jacked about this assistant coach, man.
Been throwing parties all night. No, I mean, it's good. I think it's a really good get. He's a defensive, like a clear defensive guy. And which, like, Monty really wasn't that guy. Like, if you talk to people that, like, he was more of, you know, like a player coach, or more of like relationships. Like, I can really, you know, get these guys
to
play. But he wasn't like a clear defensive minded guy, but like that's what Griffin's role is going to be coming in. And he has coached under the guy who's basically shaped the modern NBA defense for 5 years. So that's great.
Which if you look at, I think obviously the tragedy that was Monty's wife losing her life and all of that, like you can't foresee any of that. And nobody planned on that. Like Donovan would love to have had Monty playing. Coaching with him.
Oh, yeah.
Forever. You know, like as long as Monty wanted to be here, they would have let that happen and made that happen. But
yeah.
It's kind of a bringing in a it was such a brilliant move. We all thought it last year whenever they hired Monty is we thought it was a brilliant move because he is a player's coach. People love him.
Yeah.
Love him.
Durant loves him.
And it helped that transition of Donovan coming in to gain the authority, to gain the ground where these guys will trust him and know him, and to bring in somebody now, you know, after the tragedy, and that it can maybe walk that line in multiple ways, but can bring in some maybe different defensive intensity. Because we've seen what this team can do when they're locked in. I mean, they're without question the second best team in the league.
Yep.
And I don't know, man. Who knows what happens next year? But bringing in a defensive guy is a good decision. Plus, somebody has a long history, pedigree in the NBA. It's a great hire. I don't know anything really about him other than the idea of him. But I don't know. I'm excited about it. He needed to fill that spot, and we didn't know what he was going to do.
And Griffin's been interviewing for head coaching jobs as well. Like, he's been a candidate for a lot of different teams to be a head coach. So, like, he's an up-and-coming guy, and this would be huge for him. He could, if the Thunder, like, win the title next year, like, he could go get a head coaching job after this, so.
Yeah, and then Nick Collison will just retire and slide right into one of their coaching positions.
Now, Nick is just going to retire and, like, start, like, a micro-brewing company.
Sure. I mean, absolutely. That's what they move back to Seattle permanently. Do that.
All right, guys. The NBA Finals. Warriors up 2-1. Let's move on.
Yeah, no, period.
Do we want to talk about it?
Yeah, so, we should talk about it.
So
why not?
So the Warriors came out game one and two and just it looked like Cleveland was playing a different game.
Smoked them.
Like it looked like a college team versus a junior high team, right? Like it was just embarrassing. Cleveland had no idea what to do offensively, had really no idea what to do defensively, and the Warriors ended up winning, you know, handily both games. I think it was 30 some odd the second game. I can't remember what it was the first game, 20 maybe. And then they go back to Cleveland, and this happened on I think what was it Wednesday? They go back to Cleveland and get beat by 30. Cleveland comes out, the intensity's up, they're making shots, which is the biggest deal. Like, it's so funny how the game really boils down in a lot of ways to how hard did you try and did you make shots? Kyrie's hitting shots, J.R. Smith's hitting shots, LeBron's jumper kind of came back a little bit, Richard Jefferson still is in the NBA.
He's Kevin good, Love was man. There.
I know, it's crazy. But he wasn't, I mean, he was fine in the couple years before this year, but
I mean, he didn't look like he was going to do this. He's been good this year.
Which is the reminder that playing on teams with good players, with good, you know, at least a decent culture, not that I'd say Cleveland had a great one most of the season, but playing with good teams and good players, like just look at the Boris Diaw effect, right? Like he's in Charlotte and he's eating himself into oblivion. He comes to San Antonio and he revitalizes a player. Anyway, so...
Kyle Singler.
Yeah, exactly. He kind of went the opposite direction.
Eating himself into oblivion.
I think Kyle's going to go play for a trash team in the league and then turn back into like a 15 and... you know, seven guy, but
I saw him at the pool this
Kyle's
weekend.
A trash man.
So anyway, Cleveland
Luke wants to talk about him seeing him at the pool.
I saw Kyle Singler at the pool.
Cleveland won by 30, and and so it happens. Game four happens tonight. I don't know. I don't really have many thoughts about it. I'm watching it kind of in my peripherals. Like I'm doing other things, and kind of it's on.
Yeah. TV. So like the real question for tonight, heading into it, is does Kevin Love start, and what does his role look like going forward? And I think that they have to start Jefferson.
Do you think he was that detrimental? Do you think it was that big
it's
of a
like,
difference?
I mean, it's like basically like playing Cantor for 30 minutes against the Warriors. Like, yeah, that's detrimental. You know? I mean, like they put him in a pick-and-roll situation. He's going to try his hardest, but he's not going to be able to defend them. There are just guys in the league that cannot play against the Warriors. And Kevin Love and his Cantor... really, if you're a big guy and you're not a good defender, you can't really play against the Warriors, and that's just the boat that he's in. And you know they've got to play him spot minutes, kind of like Billy did with Cantor. But it's hard because you know Cantor came off the bench all year, and he was a 20 minute a night guy. But Kevin Love is a maxed out superstar. He's been an All Star. He's been the man on a team, and to like say like sorry, we may play you 9 minutes tonight.
Yeah,
like that's a big deal. So I don't know. I mean, I think that the Warriors are probably still going to win in five. I think the Warriors bounce back. I think that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson actually shoot the ball tonight, because they've been
well. Steph at least has been awful.
They both have been. Games.
Yeah,
they both are have not.
You'd have loved to have had these scored at some point in the last three games of the Thunder series, kind of thing.
Of course.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing with the Cavs too.
It'd be nice if Game Six is like that.
Yeah, it's like Game One and Two. You get just annihilated, and you're at Golden State, but still, you get annihilated. Then you come back for Game Three. Something changes. Something like crucial in your lineup changes, and you win by 30.
Yeah,
and your defense looks like a different team. A
lot better. Yeah,
like a lot better. Your offense is moving a lot better too. Like, you're in the finals. You can't. You have to just stick with that.
You've got, you have there's to no do question it again. To me that Tyronn Lue will just not play Love.
Yeah, and he didn't want to reveal that in the press conference. Yeah. They asked him, like, what are you going to do? And he's like, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
He's because I'm so scared for Kevin Love to find out.
Exactly.
But if you remember, I think it was the Hawks series, or if it was the Toronto, I think it was the Hawks series, wherever they are, a crucial moment down the line, and he comes out, he's just like, I didn't feel like I could put Kevin out there. I didn't want to do that to him, you know, like kind of this, like he was this mental midget or something, you know?
Mental little person.
Yeah, sorry.
Jay,
excuse me. Come on, Jay. But the truth, that's a hard thing. And I think that's I don't know, like how does a guy that feels like he really is a superstar handle not being able to be on the floor in the finals?
I don't know. The Warriors screw with people, man.
He'll be great in Boston next year.
What do they do? Like, what do the Cavs do?
They've got to get rid of Love.
So they lose in five. They're trading Kevin Love, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like even if you win the finals in game seven, do you still do you run it back with Kevin Love? Kevin Love
not
was like the issue all season. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, your best teams were when Kevin Love wasn't.
I thought Love was pretty decent this year, wasn't he?
Yeah. It's just, will they ever beat the Thunder or the Warriors in the finals in the next 3 years with Kevin Love? No. That's the question that you have to ask yourselves. Will that happen?
Unless it happens this year, which I think you're right. I don't think I'd probably give it maybe six. Like, I could see the Cavs winning tonight and then the Warriors winning back to back. But
I mean, all the Warriors have to do is show up tonight and win, and then win at home.
That's true. That does equal four games.
Like, all you have to do is, like, all they have to do, like, Curry and Thompson just have to show up, shoot the ball well.
Yeah.
They're asking, like, the two best shooters in the league to do that. Like, they can do that.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I with you. I love LeBron. I think Kyrie is special in moments. He was not very good in game one and two, but he was really good in game three. Yeah. JR is streaky, and the Cavs have shown that they're a different team at home.
Yeah.
Like, they, if you remember the Toronto series, it was for the first five games, it was just back to back to back, where it was they destroy the Raptors at they destroy the Raptors at home, the Raptors destroy them on their floor.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I mean,
I know, but
LeBron's LeBron. I mean, and he's still, what's crazy.
But the Warriors are twice the team than the Raptors.
I was not trying to make that comparison.
I know you're not trying to make that comparison. I just think that the Warriors, if and when they decide to turn it on.
Yeah, it'll be over.
Yeah.
And it should be. I mean, they're the better team. That's not even, I don't think that's a question for most people. I just, you know, at this point, it's getting to the point where I'm like, all right, just finish it. Let's just move on to next year.
It's inevitable. Mm-hmm. It feels inevitable. So, any Kevin Love trade ideas?
Ooh. The Boston one is the one that keeps popping around a lot. What about a Houston trade? Anything you could find with Houston that would make sense?
Woof. Their roster sucks.
How would he do with D'Antoni? I mean, the roster's trash, and so they don't have any pieces to really move. But that would be a good fit, is all I was.
Yeah, it'd be a good fit for Love.
Yeah, they don't have anything to move.
But as far as, like, what does Cleveland get back?
You know what I want to see?
Jeremy Lamb,
Patrick Beverley, and Trevor Ariza,
which is like probably better than what Love gives them.
Woof. For this matchup, but still kind of gross.
I would love, this won't happen, but I would love a Melo for Love trade.
Why wouldn't it happen?
Maybe it will happen.
It's possible.
Hey, maybe it will. And then Kevin Love will be like a super David Lee on New York.
Isn't it crazy that that's what he's kind of becoming?
A super David Lee?
He's a better David Lee, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, he's because he Kevin Love's good. Kevin Love's good. Well. If they were playing the Spurs in the finals, Kevin Love would play 30 minutes a night. No one would say
anything.
He's
playing the Thunder. They're playing the Thunder. He'd play a lot too. Because yeah, he's given Thunder fits.
His unless OKC decided to go small and play like they did against the Warriors, then it would. But I don't think they would.
The one you keep hearing is Boston. And Boston has some pieces that, it'd be hard to maybe make those contracts up because I don't know what Jay Crowder or an Avery Bradley. And I don't know if Boston wants to get rid of those guys. Those guys are great players.
For the rumor is that they will not include Jay Crowder in the trade.
Yeah.
And then that's.
But like a Marcus Smart. I don't know.
I just think.
But you're trading a superstar for a bunch of peripheral pieces. It's just not good enough. Right? The Lakers would love him, but they don't have anything.
What about Kenneth Reed and Wilson Chandler?
Yeah, you brought that one up in a text message. I don't know. I don't know.
I love the way that Kenneth Reed has played in international ball whenever he's playing like for a good team. Like, you're like, whoa, like, he's like, that guy's really good. I just feel like that would, and he can play good defense. He can play defense on the perimeter. He can switch everything, like, and so can Wilson Chandler. Like those guys can both play against the Warriors. And that's like, if you're the Cavs, like, you just have to find guys that can play against them.
Unless just making it to the finals is all you want to do forever.
Cause they'll do it.
Yes.
That's what they'll do.
Cause the East is not getting any better.
Not anytime soon.
That's why you've got to go. I like Wilson Chandler and Kenneth Faried, but I don't think that still gets you over the hump. Like, because you probably can't play Tristan Thompson and Kenneth Faried together because neither of them can shoot jump. Like, offensively,
yeah, like one of them is a bench guy.
Yeah, yeah.
At that point, you just say that LeBron's a four.
Yeah, that's the dream scenario for any lineup.
That's how they're going to beat the Warriors is if LeBron is their four.
Yeah, but
which is basically what it was, right? So they had where do they start LeBron in game three? Was he still technically the three?
No, he's their four.
He's a four.
So it was Tristan Thompson, LeBron,
Richard Jefferson,
Carson Cunningham, Kyrie Irving. Who is their two?
JR.
Yeah, they just need to run that as much as possible.
And they did. In game three, they ran. I think Kyrie and LeBron played, 38 minutes or 40 minutes or something.
I just think if you have Wilson Chandler as your three, and then you have Faried coming in off the bench, I think that's just a lot better than what they have.
Yeah. Man. I think it's better. I still don't think that you're better than the Warriors or Thunder, though.
Surely I think the get for Love would be better than that, though. No?
What is the market for Kevin Love?
I know.
Who's begging to have Kevin Love on their team?
Somebody is. Portland?
Al-Farouq Aminu?
I don't know. I'm just, yeah. We talked about like Alan Crabb. And
Alan Crabb is a free agent.
He's a free agent, yeah.
Can't do it.
I don't know.
Because you want a four that can stretch the floor, but you also need a four that can play defense. Like, you have to have a four
they need Serge
that can
Ibaka.
Switch and play defense. Yeah.
They need
Which
Serge
is
Ibaka.
Crazy that all the hating we've done on Serge, like, he is fundamental to the
Thunder
any chance
can't, yeah.
The
Thunder
Warriors.
Can't win.
Yeah.
The Thunder won't be able to beat the Warriors without him. Won't.
All right. Period.
All right.
All right, you want to move on?
Yep.
All right, we're moving on to a segment we're going to do over the next few weeks called off-season studies.
So basically, if you know anything about me or the pod, we've really enjoyed David Thorpe in a lot of ways. Sometimes we are driven crazy a little bit by him, but for the most part, we love what he does. And one of the things he does every year is he takes rookies and he gives them players to study to kind of round out their game.
Yeah.
You know, and so somebody that would be on a different level that would just provide something to them that they need, right? Like, so one of the examples is I asked him on a podcast who Wiggins should study, you know, and I was thinking like Durant, somebody like that, and he said James Harden because of the way James Harden can handle and get to the rim. It's a part of Wiggins' game that he lacks and needs to find.
Yeah.
And so what I thought would be fun is over the course of the next few weeks, if we looked at every single player on the Thunder roster and talked about who they can study in order to really round out their game. But here's the catch is with us, it could be a basketball player. It could be a movie character. It could be a personality. It could be a fictional character from a comic book. Who knows what it is?
We could get weird.
It could get weird.
We could be a type of dog.
And so we distributed out four different players for each one of us. I got Mitch McGarry. Andrew got Josh Huestis. Luke got Cameron Payne. And Taylor got your boy Kyle Singler.
Yeah. I saw him at a pool this weekend.
Luke saw him at a pool this weekend.
Did he
send us a picture?
How much sunscreen did he put on?
I didn't see him put on any.
He's got to.
I know. I figured he applied before he got to the pool, which is the smart man's game.
Mm.
But then the ladies don't get to see you rubbing all over yourself. You know?
Yeah, but I feel like...
Yeah, I'll tell you how many ladies want to see that from me.
All of them.
Me. Not a single one.
Whatever, man.
Hey, let's watch that guy put lotion on.
Hey, check this guy out. Check out Kyle Singler. All right, go ahead, Taylor.
All right, fine.
Let's watch him put cream all over his pale, pale body.
All right. Kyle Singler, I have two.
All right.
The first person he needs to look up to and be inspired by is Benji Madden, formerly of Good Charlotte fame.
Oh, wow, yes.
This is why.
Why?
This is why. Good Charlotte comes on, Lifestyles of Rich Famous. People are like, okay, I'm kind of feeling it.
No.
I'm talking about middle schoolers here. Middle schoolers across the world. Kind of feeling this song.
Dude, Good Charlotte was big before that. Dog.
Before Lifestyles of Rich and Famous?
Yeah.
What came before that? So listen, my point remains.
I don't remember their CD, but...
So this is...
I have no idea.
This is Kyle Singler at Duke. Okay. This is whatever. And then Good Charlotte turns into a very embarrassing band. Maybe you...
One of the guys is on TRL now. The other guy married Ashley Simpson. Like, it just derailed for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, no.
Yes.
You're skipping.
I don't know. That's my only memory of
anyway,
that terrible
Benji
band.
Madden now... Famous in Australia. Australians love him.
Okay.
Also married to Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Very surprising. I don't know how he did it. He got his life on track. He's kind of like legit now.
What's the age gap?
About at least 1 year, I'm guessing.
Luke, will you get on that?
Yeah, it's going to be something. It's going to be something. Okay, I'll find this.
Get on that
but
age
anyway,
gap.
Like Benji Madden, guitarist for Good Charlotte, marrying Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, it
that's pretty crazy.
Doesn't sound
that's
real.
A very good accomplishment. For
Who
him,
knew?
Right?
Who
Kyle
knew?
Kyle Singler, you gotta look at Benji Madden, be inspired.
You can marry Cameron
your
Diaz.
Life like this. You can marry a Cameron Diaz, whatever metaphor that means for him.
That means okay. Make shots.
Yeah, make shots.
Get buckets.
A basketball player, Troy Murphy. Troy Murphy did a really good job of looking really stupid and staying in the NBA for 13 years. If you're going to look that dumb, Kyle, at least be Troy Murphy and stay in the league for 12 years.
Troy Murphy was like
years.
7 foot tall.
Seven he was a big guy.
Seven-year difference
that's
between Benji
bad.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going double digits.
Oh, yeah.
No, for
Hollywood, 7 years is like nothing.
Yeah, that's like...
Well, I mean, for life, person. That's really not a no. whole lot. I thought we were heading into like 15 years. Oh, I really wow. did. And then I was wow. going to... Then I was.
Yeah, it's like your 17-year-old girlfriend, Taylor.
Oh, I guess it is kind of just like that.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
So, Benji Madden, Troy Murphy, Kyle Singler.
All right. I had Mitch McGarry, and so I found two players. And I really... The basketball one, I'll start with that one. So the basketball one for me was, there's two guys in particular. And there's one guy I don't think he has the ability to be that I really was kind of like, man, study this guy. And that's Draymond Green. Like, similar skill set in the sense that he's a low post player. He can shoot. He can dribble. He can pass.
Yeah.
I don't think McGarry has the ability to defend the way that Draymond does.
Ain't no way.
I don't think he has the dog in him in some level, right? Like
I think he's got the dog in him. I don't think he's got the body.
He's got a couple snakes in him.
They're similar. Like he's big. He can be strong. Like he lost. Anyway, so I moved away from Draymond. I think the bigger deal is just there's just something that separates phenomenal defenders from everybody else. And I don't think McGarry has it, if it's a whatever it is. So I looked at somebody I felt like does have a similar skill set still, and is achievable on some level. And so that's why I went with Boris Diaw. Follow Boris Diaw. Look at what he does. Like, look what he does for the Spurs, how he fits that team, how he makes that team what it is. And because you can pass, you can shoot, you can post up. The difference is that McGarry is an energy guy, and he can fly up and down the court. And so there's nobody that has that. But to round out the game is to figure out how to play within yourself, how to be a part of a team where you're just making the rest of your team better. And that's what Dia does, or Dia does now. And so pay attention to that. Maybe watch him a little bit with the Suns, and then figure out what's up. What do you think about that?
Boris. Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts on McGarry for that, the NBA players?
Oh, I mean, I just think that he needs to be a better defender. That's the only way he's going to play. So I think Draymond Green is actually not a bad idea for him to study, because, like, watch what he's doing on defense. Like, how is he so effective? Like, what is he doing? Because McGarry's going to be able to do, like, he's got a good floor game. He can shoot, but he's...
Until he can be better on defense, he can't.
His attention to detail on defense just isn't there, and that's why he doesn't play.
So who's somebody in the league that maybe isn't the most... Like, that just is in the right place. Like, does that more than anything. Like, a Marc Gasol kind
of thing. Nick Collison.
Nick Collison. Yeah, just watch your... who should be your mentor.
Yeah.
And then the second one, so my non-NBA player, my non-specific league person is Tony Robbins. If you don't know Tony Robbins, Tony Robbins is a motivational speaker and has the biggest jaw in the history of the universe. But
is that what he talks about?
Yeah, a lot.
How is he successful with this?
Everything you hear about Mitch McGarry over the course of the last year was almost more mental. Like, he was going through stuff. You know, there's rumors about, you know, him doing weird things. He left the team for... I didn't want to go too far into that because it feels really dumb to report. He left the team for undisclosed reasons. And if you listen to Billy Donovan's post-season press conferences... he said something about Mitch. As Mitch got hurt against the Grizzlies in preseason, had a great training camp, a great summer with the team, was gone for 4 weeks, like couldn't practice, couldn't play for 4 weeks under concussion protocol. And as part of that, what he said is that Mitch got so far behind that he could never catch up. Yeah. So part of the reason he wasn't ever in the rotation, even when Billy was doing all of the experimenting with the team to see what they could do, is because he got so far behind at the beginning. Well, that has a lot of mental wear to it, you know, like you feel like you should be on the court, and so he needs somebody to just tell him, "Hey, buddy, you're good enough. You're smart enough. Dag nabbit.
Hey, Tony Robbins looks like a superhero.
He does look like a superhero.
He's massive,
or a super villain.
He is huge too, like 6'8". Anyway, so that's Mitch McGarry. Luke, I know you hate Mitch McGarry. So what do you think?
I don't hate him. I need to find my belief in him again. I've lost it. You know
what'll help that?
I need to get my
Tony Robbins.
Summer League.
I need to get my McGarry groove back.
Dude, McGarry dominates Summer League. He's going to kill Summer League this year because he's way too old to be in Summer League.
Yeah. Because
he shouldn't be in
Summer League. He's 24.
They should send singlers to Summer League.
That'd be hilarious.
That would be great.
He would be horrible.
He would be really bad in Summer League.
He'd be awful. I had Josh Huestis. The player I think that he should study is Trevor Ariza. Like, if he can do what Trevor Ariza does, even like half of what Trevor Ariza does.
Similar body style.
Yeah, they can both switch between the three and the four. They're both supposed to be like defender shooters. And Ariza was not always a good shooter. Like, when the Lakers picked him up, he couldn't really shoot at all. And he was really kind of a bad shooter through the playoffs. So if he can watch a guy like that, and even go back and watch before that Lakers team, you know, won the NBA Finals, he shot horribly through like the first few rounds and then shot really well in the finals. So like, watch a guy that has been through it, like just keep shooting, be a guy that gets steals, be a guy that's like disruptive defensively and just hit shots.
And remember, Huestis is a good, for his position, a good rim protector.
Yeah, he's a good shot blocker, yeah.
You know?
He's one of the best shot blockers in college. Right?
Yeah, in the world.
In the world.
In the whole entire world.
I believe in Josh Huestis, man.
And we talked a little bit about this throughout the week, is I think Huestis will be a huge piece against, like, going small with Huestis as part of the lineup in some sense, or at least in spots. Instead of the Randy Foy some of these other guys.
And he's a guy that, like, we don't know this for sure, but he's a guy that theoretically could play against the Warriors and could switch on defense. Like, he's a guy that could possibly do that if he gets into the rotation. I think that there's a good chance that it's going to be between him and Singler in training camp, and I think that Huestis is is going to beat him out.
15 minutes he played this year, I already would prefer him.
Yeah, he looked like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah,
basically all you have to do, and he hit shots. So the other study, I think he should study Zach Cockrell, the bassist for the Alabama Shakes.
Oh, yes.
If you've ever seen them live, the man just stays in his lane. He's not moving. He's just playing. He's just standing.
Part of that also looks like he's very unhealthy and like can't move that much.
This is so true. I don't want that part, but I just want the I want the part where you just stay in your own lane. You know,
like yeah, he's very great.
He's just solid. He's just
grooving.
He's just steady. He's moving his head just a little bit.
Hey, their drummer. Don't watch their drummer play live. It will drive you insane.
I watched him play live.
What'd you think?
I don't remember much about it.
I hated it.
Why?
I hated
watching it. Literally the hottest moment of my entire life. It was at that outdoor festival.
You're not talking about temperature.
It was like 110 degrees.
It was really hot.
The sun was like...
It was really sweating.
The sun was in your face setting, and there were thousands of people in this field in Guthrie.
Yeah, it was a miserable place to watch music.
It was like, I would never do that again.
Do you remember that tree of life? That one tree that everyone was trying to...
Yes, anyway, to give some context, there was a festival in Guthrie, which is a small town just north of Oklahoma City. Mumford & Sons were there, Alabama Shakes, a whole bunch of other bands. It had every potential to be cool, but it was so hot.
Yeah.
And it was in the middle of a field, and there was one tree. There were hundreds of people like circled up in the shade of that tree during the day. And this was like a 2-day festival. Like people were there for hours and hours on end. My wife and I showed up right for Alabama Shakes and Mumford & Sons and left immediately.
Yeah.
But you didn't leave immediately because you couldn't.
No, stuck in traffic forever.
Forever. You're in Guthrie.
Anyways, I think you should just learn from him because I think that Russ is a lot like Brittany Howard, the lead singer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because she's very animated and really takes the stage. She,
very intense, very passionate.
She's great.
Kevin Durant's a lot like Heath Fogg, the lead guitar player. Smooth, efficient. That dude's a great guitar player. That guy's really good. Oh my goodness. And Steven Adams is a lot like Steve Johnson, the drummer.
No, I have to disagree.
He's a little sloppy, but you know he's good.
That's valid.
He looks so unnatural. Like, it looks very not rhythmic.
Well, then he's Serge Ibaka.
He doesn't have the rhythm in his... Well, yes, he's Serge Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka is Steve Johnson, drummer of the Alabama Shakes.
Steve Johnson.
Steve Johnson is a pretty generic name. Like,
yeah.
It's like, Steve Johnson. He's like, not, attorney at law.
He's no Heath Fogg. What a great name.
Right? That's a good name. Like, that guy's a musician, Heath right? Steve Fogg. Johnson is like...
But when Steve Johnson's the drummer, nobody remembers the drummer.
No.
Like, unless you're another drummer, you just don't remember drummers.
Whatever, man. Dave Grohl.
Hey, there it is. Dave Grohl.
Rock hey, those roll, are good. Baby,
Jason Schwartzman.
Jason Schwartzman. Band of
hey, shout out to Alabama Shakes.
Yeah, yep. A lot of Alabama Shakes. I don't know if I like thinking of the Thunder as the Alabama Shakes.
Sorry, I did a little deep dive.
Oh, man.
All right.
Were you just listening to him? You're like, hey, that bass player, Josh Eustis.
He reminds me of Josh Eustis. Have you seen him?
Big white bearded guy.
He's a giant white bearded guy. He wore overalls.
That's perfect.
He's just a guy who stays in his lane.
I like it. Just be who you are.
All right. You ready for campaign?
Yes.
First thing that campaign needs to watch this summer is the new season of So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh,
because
that's great.
He dances with Russ. But this season on So You Think You Can Dance, it's little kids who are paired up with professional dancers that have been on the show previously. So it's like him and Russ. Professional. Wow. He has a lot to learn from him.
He's got a lot to learn.
A lot to learn.
Here's what I would say. He's a very good dancer already. Top 10 dancer in the world.
I know,
at this point.
These kids are good dancers too.
Oh, they're also top 10 in the world.
Would we say it's good dancing?
Yes.
Like if he's like a good dancer, or is he just like doing the movements?
Here's my favorite part. Is he the best? Is he the best
dancer in the
like
world?
mascot in the league?
Is he the Rumble?
No, I'm saying campaign. Like on the sidelines, you watch him. What other bench gets as many close-ups as Cameron Payne and the bench crew?
He's pretty good. Man. The Thunder have always consistently had a good showing. Yeah. The Jeremy Lamb, Perry Jones.
I miss those two. Not good. Any basketball related reasons.
Well, no, they're not good. Perry Jones isn't even in the league.
The one where Perry Jones fainted in Jeremy Lamb's arms. Yes, that one was fantastic. Was
Jeremy Lamb's still around Oklahoma. Does anyone know why?
I told you this.
He was at the Greens too.
He's coming home to daddy.
He's coming home to me, his daddy.
Okay.
I love me some Jeremy Lamb. This season made me a little bum for him though. He got benched in the playoffs.
Right, more stuff.
Where the coach actually told him the reasons that we've always thought.
Yeah.
He's just not engaged. It's engaged. Yeah, because he's asleep three-fourths of his life.
He's been sleeping, coach.
More campaign stuff. He needs to see the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, Out of the Shadows.
Yeah.
Oh, have you seen it?
No, but I really want to, but I probably never will.
Oh.
I'll probably catch it on TV at some point.
Yeah.
I took a picture with one of the displays the other day. If y'all want to see it later.
Just with you or with your children?
No, with me.
All right. But I'm hoping he comes out of the shadows this next year. And he needs some training from
A giant rat.
A gigantic rat. Yeah, that's what he needs.
Casey Jones.
That makes sense.
And that is an Adrian Griffin.
Giant rat.
Giant rat.
And then he would also needs to read the old X-Men comics when Kitty Pryde comes and joins, because she started out, she was a new character with like all these established characters, went on to become a mainstay of the series.
Hey. Wow.
Like really ingrained herself to the team.
What is the name of this comic book
Kitty
character?
Pryde, man.
She was Kitty Pryde, the character in X-Men. Uncanny X-Men.
Okay.
In the 80s!
So as far as basketball, I think one that we've talked about that makes sense is watching Mike Conley.
Yeah.
It's the guy who's compared to a lot of ways when he came into the league. But the thing that Mike Conley does, and it's so campaign is very similar, and he's a rookie, and so it's really expected, but it's one of those things, like if he can become – he doesn't even have to become locked down defensively. He just needs to be sufficient.
He's got to be passable.
Just get out there, move around on guys, stay in front of them, which I think being a rookie has that built-in excuse. Like the game is faster, and you're playing against teams, and really it's hard to mentally be – prepped and geared in all those moments defensively. And so the offense is natural for him. He's a great shooter. I love the way he passes. I love the way he gets to the rim. His floater game is really good. And he's just going to physically mature, which is going to help all of that as well.
Yeah.
The issue will be, is it going to be playable on defense?
Can he play defense?
The reason Randy Foy plays is because he at least can stay in front of people.
That's why I think Jeff Teague is a good comp for him. Because they're both skinny. But Teague, like, you don't have any question putting Jeff Teague out there. Like, the dude could play. Oh, yeah. Like, if he was the Thunder backup point guard, like, he would have played against the Warriors. And can campaign be that guy that's passable in defense and then, like, that's getting in the lane? So.
Yeah. And it's not unreasonable to think campaign can learn how to play defense well enough in his second year, right?
I think he's got decent instincts. I just think Jay's right that the game's got to slow down for him.
Yeah.
And he didn't play summer league last year because he was hurt. Like there's a lot of development to happen this summer for him. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have summer league, training camp, time to spend with the rat. So.
Splinter will help him out.
Master Splinter.
Master Adrian Griffin.
But I think there is something where that first year is such a learning experience, especially for guys. Because here's the difference is if he had gotten drafted by the Sixers and he'd have played 30 minutes or 35 minutes game, like he would have developed in a different level, right? Like he probably would have been at the end of the season, people would have been like, man, what a great draft pick. But the truth is when you're in spots for a team that needs you to be just good.
You have to be good now.
Yeah. You don't really have that chance. And so I really could see Cam, and he looks like a guy who's going to put in the work too, you know, like spending the summer, you know, talking to coaches up here at training camp, moving around, making sure you learn how to play defense, and then really evaluating your game. Say, what areas do I need to be better? So against the Warriors in the biggest game of the season, like I can be on the floor and help contribute, make this team better. And I think he has the potential to do that.
Yeah. And doesn't being on a team that pushed the Warriors, like that played against the Warriors, best of any team in the whole league, like, doesn't that make you want to work harder in the offseason than if you were on the 76ers?
Well, Durant said that in his press conference, that everybody's going to come back better.
Yeah. Like, Durant's coming back.
Cameron Payne has a huge, huge potential for this team.
And he knows it too. Like, what? He knows he just has to be a little better to play more.
Yeah, and remember Reggie Jackson. Like, as much as we hate him now, but like his rookie year, like it was like, I don't know. I really don't know. And he was like a late first round pick. We're talking about a lottery pick. Yeah, I believe that he's going to be really good. And I mean, that's where like this team's ceiling is just different than teams like the Cavs or even the Warriors, because the potential with this team is,
and they're still kind of
crazy.
Young.
Yeah, even like their oldest guys are Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, our oldest rotation players. So it's cool.
Yeah. Hey guys, we got some TQs. Do you want to talk about them?
Cool. Let's do it.
Twitter questions.
You want to talk about it and answer the TQs? Our first Twitter question comes from at Adam. I don't know.
Jacques.
Who wants...
Jacques. Also, I thought it was a damn Jacques.
A damn Jacques.
A damn Jax.
Who wants to know?
Should the Thunder retain Foy? If not, is there a vet that would take a discount to play for a title?
I don't know that there's even a guy out there that makes a ton of sense as a vet. Like, the guy that obviously would be great if he took a discount is Jared Dudley. But I think that he's going to have an opportunity to make a ton of money this summer. So I don't really even think that that's possible. And then, like, you have to look like Gerald Henderson. I think, like, they really just need to try to get...
I don't see either one of those. I don't see a Gerald Henderson take... he's still somewhat young enough to actually make a little bit of money.
Yeah, he's 28. He can make money.
Because most of the time when you get those vets that are looking for, you're going to find a... And it's funny is, like, the Heat hit the jackpot on all those guys, right?
Yeah.
Like, the difference is that doesn't always work out. Look at Paul Pierson in L.A. this year. He was trash.
That's not good.
Yeah, and that's what you're looking for, or that's what you're looking at for the most part pursuing a vet that's at the end of his career. Because guys that can still go out there and get a five-year contract worth $10 million, like, why the heck would they come and be like, I really want a championship at 28? Like, no, I can do that when I'm 32 or 33.
Yeah.
Be Richard Jefferson, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that they really are going to focus on getting Alex Abrines over here and using whatever money they have to do that. And then I wouldn't be surprised if Sam Presti got into the draft and got some guy. Because there's going to be a lot of... I feel like there's going to be a lot of trades in this draft because, like, the Suns have several picks and the Nuggets have several picks and the Celtics have several picks. Like, and all those teams aren't going to want to keep all those guys. So I think that they're going to... They could sneak into the first round with one of those teams somehow, whether they pay for the draft pick or say, we'll give you our 2020 first round pick for this year's. So I think, I just don't know what vet that would be. And I also know it's going to be hard to crack the Thunder's rotation if they bring everybody back.
That's what
back.
I was going
to
say. Yeah, that's the bigger deal.
So where are the minutes?
Is Foy even in the rotation? If Cam does some of the things we look at and if Huestis does start getting opportunities for minutes, like...
If Cam and Huestis can play... Then there's no minutes to be had.
And so, what if that guy from Europe comes over? Alex Abrines.
That's what we said.
That'd be cool.
Okay, but like if Abrines...
And what I think if Abrines came over, they would go ahead and waive Anthony Morrow's contract and bring him over. Because they're gonna want to have a little bit of cap space, a little bit of wiggle room. And then like if you have Abrines, then like what's the point of having Anthony Morrow? Because a lot of people are like, well, he should be replacing Deion. Well, I don't know that you can count on him to switch on defense like Deion does. Like I don't think that he's gonna be able to defend Draymond Green in the post.
Deion? Irreplaceable.
He is irreplaceable.
But the other thing is none of this, and I don't think Durant's gonna do it. Like I don't think he's gonna leave, but he's the domino. He's the first domino.
Yeah.
So no decisions really get made roster-wise until they figure out what he does. Because if he stays, which we all think is going to happen, if he stays, then all of a sudden it's like you're pulling the trigger on matching whatever Deion gets, and you're going to try to go get Abrines. Or Abrines. I always forget how to say it. But what a lot of people have said, a lot of people smarter than me, has said that if Durant does not come back, then there's no point of getting waiters as well. I don't know if I believe that, but that's one of the things they've said.
Especially if you can get him for $12 million a year,
yeah,
for 48 or something.
They're going to try to move Singler at some point. I think this season or off season. I don't know if he's movable. He's still got 4 years, but people need to eat up contracts, especially. It's not a bad contract when you look at
it's not a huge contract. The years is the problem.
Yeah.
And that's why it sucks, because that's why it's a bad contract, but it was also why it was a value contract at the same time. And there's still a chance he could be rehabilitated.
He could have been a Pistons guy. I mean,
he can still, like, he's not like a lost cause. You know,
he's here for good. That's why he got a membership at the Greens.
That's right. He can be rehabilitated. Like, all he has to, I mean, if he can hit shots, he can play.
Yeah.
Like, there's a chance that he comes in and, like, Huston doesn't even play next year because Singler is hitting shots.
If KD resigns and Abrines doesn't come over, does any part of this team change at all?
I don't see why it would.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, why not just re-sign Foy to a two-year deal?
Yeah, I mean,
with an option on the second year, you know.
So, well, just sign him to a 1 year. Hey,
if KD goes somewhere, everything shifts. Because you're moving to go young. Like, at some point, you're going to start looking at, like,
well, you move to build a team around Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
and
Steven Adams.
Yeah,
and Enes Kanter.
Well, at that point, I think that it's even possible that you trade Kanter for a wing, because who's your wing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Dion. D-man. You remember Dion?
That's right.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Josh Huston, Kyle Singler?
Exactly.
Yeah, they got both those guys to ultimately replace Kevin.
Did you know that? That's right.
All right, let's try to get a guy that wouldn't have gone in the draft, stash him in the D-League for a year, because he's inevitably going to be Kevin Durant.
Superstar.
Let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at William J. Berger, who wants to know, if the Cavs had never traded Wiggins for Love, do you think Wiggins would have made a significant difference in these finals?
That's a hindsight conversation, because yes, would Wiggins make a difference in this finals? Sure, he would be able to be played, unlike Kevin Love.
That's the difference.
Well,
right?
the thing is that Wiggins has been a garbage defensive player up to this point in his career. You just think of him as like he's an athlete, but like the numbers say that he is not good on defense.
But he has a chance to play. Like, if you want to switch, like, he could play. He has more of a chance to play the Cavs that could be a positive manner than yes. But I think the hard part about this is, in hindsight, people think that trade is trash, but Kevin Love was incredible in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Wasn't like they traded for some guy that was an unknown. Like, he was almost a 2020 guy at parts of his career, you know? Like,
yeah.
He was that good. And so, of course, you make that trade for somebody that's unknown, you know? Like, it's a no-brainer on some decisions. And so it's hard. I just want to make sure we don't evaluate the whole – like, I have the tendency to evaluate that whole thing based on the fact that I think Wiggins would be a better fit with this team right now.
I think, if you're talking about a future and you're talking about a guy that – and maybe he's a better defender if he plays for the Cavs, because they're going to force him to be. Mm-hmm. And when you're playing in Minnesota, it's like, you know
– I mean, I think that's
go out there and do it. So he could be a much better defender today if he played with LeBron. I think he'd be a better player if he played with LeBron – up to this point.
And we're going to see his defensive potential whenever Thibodeau becomes.
Yeah, I think Tibbs is going to make him a lot better player. Mm. I mean, even people at the time were debating whether this was a good deal for the Cavs, if they should have done this.
This was the thing. This is why I thought it was good at the time when it happened, was like, okay, LeBron's getting up there in age. Like, minutes played, it's like unbelievable.
The time is now.
Yeah, and it's like, yes, do you have a better chance to win a championship with Kevin Love than a rookie Andrew Wiggins this year? Yes, the answer was yes. You know, and like, that's why you made that trade.
Who Wiggins, you know, he's been good. He was the rookie of the year, and he was pretty decent this year. The thing is he still seemed, coming out of college, like a project. Like, he wasn't that great at Kansas. Like, he was good, but he wasn't great.
But he was way better in the NBA than he was.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, way better than you thought he would be.
Yeah, and so that's the thing, is people didn't think he would come in. He was perfect for Minnesota, who had 2 or 3 years to where they were going to look to, you know. Yeah. Minnesota, I think, is already beyond what they were expected to be, because Karl Anthony Towns is that good, and then they're going to have another good pick this year. But
yeah.
But I think the part of it is Wiggins was more of a project, is what they thought. He had the potential to be out of this world, but nobody thought he'd be this good this quickly.
Yeah. It was LeBron's choice.
Yeah.
To make that happen. Ultimately, I think that it'll be a mistake, because I just don't think that they will be able to get that kind of value out of Kevin Love when they need to trade him.
Yeah, no way.
Like,
would you trade Wilson Chandler and Kenneth Faried for Andrew Wiggins?
It is funny, I mean, that like no Kenneth way. Fried and Wilson Chandler is like, yeah, I think that trade would work for Kevin Love, when what you needed to get Kevin Love before is like Andrew Wiggins,
the number one pick.
Yeah,
in the draft.
The number one overall pick, which like you're not getting anywhere close to that.
You're gonna
for
get
Kevin
Ben,
Love
Ben Simmons yeah. for Kevin Love.
Yeah,
it's just it just sucks that his. I mean, they just the way that the league has moved has destroyed his value.
Yeah.
If this was the league five years, if this was the league 5 years ago, you could get a lot for Kevin Love because Kevin Love can play on any NBA team and play against anyone.
The Warriors effect, man. They've changed the entire league.
They have. You can't. There are players that cannot play against the Warriors, and he's one of them. And that sucks for the Cavs because that's the only team that they need to beat to win the championship. And they can't do it because they don't have the personnel because they need Andrew Wiggins.
Wow. True.
It'd be 3-0 if it was Andrew Wiggins.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Dustin Talley, who wants to know, what will be your favorite summer NBA thing to follow? Draft, free agency, Olympics, schedule release?
My least favorite thing will be free agency. Like,
yeah.
Like whenever it opens and Durant hasn't signed within the first
minute. Guys really think that, like, what are you putting like the odds of him leaving at today?
1%.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. 15?
I'm totally expecting him to at least sign the 1-1. At least.
He's gonna re-sign here.
I get it. I understand that. But it's not a guarantee. Like, I have nothing that makes me say, like, oh, for sure. Like, I feel confident in it.
You just can't be comfortable until you know for sure.
Until I know, right? Yeah. Like, and so that does not get me excited. And I don't really particularly – there's not a lot of – I don't know. I don't think there's huge pieces that will make differences on championship teams this summer. Like, maybe I'm wrong, other than Durant, you know, LeBron, obviously. But I'm excited about two things in particular, and I love the Olympics, specifically the basketball. It's just a blast. International teams are getting better and better. Ton of NBA talent on a ton of teams. Kevin Durant has already committed to playing the Olympics.
Yeah.
A lot of guys are dropping out just because of injury and the wear and tear of the season.
And Zika.
And Zika virus.
No one cares about Olympics anymore.
But it's still something where it's just fun and it keeps you through. It helps you survive the summer, right? And it doesn't really – I don't think basketball starts till August as far as that.
Right.
But the thing that I'm probably as excited about, maybe more excited about, freaking rookie camp. Summer league,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're going to have Hustis and Campaign and Mitch McGarry, and they are going to have a blast in Orlando.
They're
going to
be really good.
They're going to be fun to watch. And plus, you get to see, you know, what are these guys, because they haven't played together. Cam was out last year, Hustis was out last year, so it was McGarry and a bunch of guys, Samaje Christian, and a whole bunch of guys that won't play. But to see those guys, see their development, see how they play in a summer league, which, you know, summer league isn't where you evaluate it completely.
You know, it's not where you evaluate anything.
Yeah, but it's just fun. I'll get that little, you know, $10 2-week Orlando camp pass, and it'll be fun.
I love the NBA draft. I love it.
Yeah.
Even if the Thunder aren't picking, I freaking love the draft. I can't wait for the draft. I think it's going to be a really weird draft. Nobody knows, like, beyond 1 and 2, like, nobody knows where anybody's going.
Yeah.
So it should be a really fun draft. I think there's going to be a lot of trades just because there are so many teams that have so many picks and teams that want to get in and teams that want to get out, and it's going to be fun. And I love free agency as well. This free agency is going to be so crazy. Like, guys like Kent Bazemore are going to be like $17 million a year for Kent Bazemore.
Oh my God. People are going to be complaining on Twitter so much this summer.
It's going to be nuts. Bismack Biyombo is going to get maxed out by somebody and everybody's going to flip out. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a really fun free agency.
That's true. I didn't think about that part.
I'm most excited for the Olympics because it's my favorite sport.
Oh, shut up.
It's my favorite sport. Go ahead. Talk about it.
No. I have confirmed that it is that I'll call it a sport because it is scored.
It is scored. There's a winner.
There's a winner.
A sport in like, yeah, each competition is its own sport.
That aren't sports, though.
It's still a sport.
Because for the country,
it is an athletic competition, and at the end there is a winner. That's a sport.
Boom. No one thinks of it like that except you.
I do.
Do you really sport. Like? Well, I really only look forward to like the gold medal game, right? Like, do you watch? Like,
no, I'll watch a lot.
I don't really care for.
I'll even all watch of like it. Other countries play each other, but that's just because I'm so like hungry for basketball.
Yeah,
I'm very desperate.
I think it's fine.
I watch so much swimming.
I love the Olympics. I love everything in summer.
You prefer summer or winter?
Summer.
Well, yeah, because basketball.
And I like them both.
I just like
different.
Summer. I feel like the better athletes are in summer, but that's just because I don't know.
It's a little overrated because the U.S. is they just roll through everybody.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like it's like who's going to beat the U.S.? Like really?
Hell yeah!
In America's, basketball is what you're talking.
Yeah, in basketball,
no one's going to beat.
That's what I'm saying. Like I think the
Spain.
Olympics,
Spain always plays them hard.
Yeah, but who's
They're
on
so
Spain
old now?
Like who's
Gasol's probably not playing.
They haven't
Mark Gasol.
They have not replenished their roster at all.
I mean, you think Alex Abrines will play?
Yeah, but Alex Abrines is like barely better than Anthony Morrow.
But how fun will that be to see him play? Or
I don't know if he'll
terrifying.
Play. I don't know if he'll play.
Okay,
I just don't think. Okay. I think the Olympics is fine, but I just think that. Like the U.S. is just going to roll through everybody.
Yeah.
Even if everybody didn't show up, like all they need is like Durant and Paul George, and they'll roll through everybody.
I like watching France play. They just have fun players on their team. Batum, yeah. Tony Parker, Boris Diaw.
I'm just excited for a 2 week period when I'm going to get really into gymnastics. Let's move on to our next question.
Is Gobert playing this summer?
Oh, probably. Why wouldn't he? I think he will.
I don't know.
Or next.
Game you guys just don't play.
He's the width of a FIBA court.
That's right.
He really is.
Our next Twitter question comes from @Kasums10, who wants to know which Thunder player would win a hot dog eating contest. The answer is Mitch McGarry.
Yeah, that's exactly
the answer
right.
is not Mitch McGarry.
Yes.
Let me tell you why. Because he is going to go so hard on those first five hot dogs that he is going to choke.
Oh.
Wow. There's just no way that Mitch McGarry would win. There's absolutely no chance. It's Steven Adams. Because Steven Adams doesn't have feelings. Like, he doesn't feel full.
Yeah. Okay.
And he will destroy a hot dog eating contest. Mitch McGarry will get too excited.
That's true.
Yeah. And he will shove three hot dogs in at once.
Yeah.
And he will stand there just chewing and just staring around. And he will move his arms too much. And it will be too much for him.
Also, can't you see Mitch McGarry, like being really crazy, hyped up, eating hot dogs, and then getting red faced and laughing out loud, and just like hot dog coming out of his mouth.
Hot dogs spit everywhere. Yeah. Like he's.
Oh yeah, you're right. He's not built for this.
Yeah.
He's far too weird.
Like the first thing I wrote down for my answer was not Mitch McGarry.
Initially, I agreed with you. He made very realistic valid points.
It's Steven Adams. There's no question. I mean, Steven Adams could win. He could do it. The dude has no feelings. He can eat a ton. He's massive.
I think Serge Ibaka could do some work on some hot dogs, too.
He's probably never had a hot dog. That's why I kind of worry about him.
Surely he's had a hot dog.
I don't think he's had one. Prove me wrong.
I can't unless I ask him.
I don't think he's ever had one. How could you win a hot dog eating contest and never eaten a hot dog?
Next time I see him in the club, I'm going to ask him if he's ever had a hot dog.
Hey!
Which he might
say. Well, I'm at the pool this weekend. Kyle! Has Serge had a hot dog?
Kyle's
eating
some hot dogs.
Did you see Kyle at the pool?
Yeah, man. Dude, he's massive and ripped.
Jay's like really? Totally disengaged from this conversation. Just out. He's out on this one.
Who would win a hot dog eating contest? Jay?
Steven Adams.
Yeah.
Without even question.
Yeah.
All right.
It's because it's such a, like, no-brainer.
Wow. All right. Let's move on to our next TQ and our final TQ. It is from R.A. Schwartzman 09, who wants to know if you could pick something that Steven Adams had to tattoo on himself this summer, what would it be?
Tattoo
on himself.
So my idea is if you can find like a nice area that has a lot of room, I would like for him to tattoo the progression of his look. So like his rookie year, his face is rookie year, second year, third year, and so on. To show the progression of himself on his body.
It could be like, have you seen those pictures that's like the phases of the moon?
It's like the phases of the moon. It's like the evolution of human beings.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Oh, that it could go that way.
They're walking.
Yeah. Like,
that could be cool.
So that's the idea that I would present to him, and he can really execute it in any way he wants, but somewhere on his body, preferably somewhere where you can see it all the time.
So have you seen...
Other arm.
Have you seen... Yeah. Steve-O has his entire face.
Yeah.
Without question.
Oh, yeah.
A full back, perfectly drawn Enes Kanter with a mustache.
That's a great idea. Enes Kanter too.
Like shoulder to shoulder, neck to tailbone.
That's a great idea.
That's what I was thinking. It was
how
too.
Ridiculous would that be?
Be great.
Very cool. Be
seems realistic.
I was hoping that he would. I was hoping that he would hide an Enes Kanter face somewhere in his tribal tattoo. So you had to like. He's like
kind of like when you had to stare at those pictures and cross your eyes, and then all of a sudden you could see like an image.
It's like separated on his eye, on his arm. You have to cross your eyes for it to come together.
And
that'd be amazing.
I can never make those work. Oh, I've never been able to see him.
I'm really good at them.
Really?
Yes.
Would you say it's one of your top five skills?
Yeah, I think so. I'm really good at them. I can see all of them.
Wow. I've never seen one. I've pretended that I could. Like,
oh, yeah, I
when
see
I
it.
Was a little kid.
Oh, this again.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, it's an airplane.
Yeah.
Cool sailboat.
It's like none of them are that cool, though.
No.
It's like, oh, now I can see the sailboat. Now I can see a pirate ship. Cool, I guess.
Cool. All right, guys, are you miffed and are you peeved?
Miffed and peeved.
I'm pretty miffed. So the other night, first of all, I haven't been sleeping well. It's just not been a good season of sleep for me.
Oh, no, you need melatonin.
So, no, I just need my kids to get older.
You got a while.
I got a while. So this happens without fail. So I finally get both my kids to go to sleep. It's the middle of the night, and then my dog starts barking. She's in a little crate. I let her out, and I'm like half asleep. I open the door, let her out, and there's a scuffle on my back porch. There is a possum on my back porch.
Oh, no.
And my dog got into a scuffle with a possum. First of all, what is up with the spelling of possum?
Opossum.
I'm so mad about that.
It like, doesn't have to
it
be
it makes
O.
me so miffed. Yeah, but why do you even have the option? Who decides, I'm going to spell possum with an O at the beginning? That's stupid. Anyways, I've been miffed about that for years. But
okay.
Anyways, this possum is there. My dog gets into a scuffle. I'm freaking out. If you see a possum up close, those things are the ugliest things you've ever
Very
seen.
Very ugly.
And kind of horrifying. Because I've got some he was gnashing teeth at me.
Ew, they're nasty. They're very nasty looking.
So I had to get my dog inside, and then I'm watching for this possum. This is like at 3 o'clock in the morning. Pretty much don't go back to sleep. I went back to sleep for a little bit, but my wife couldn't sleep afterwards because she heard me go, ah! Chloe, get inside!
Was that last night?
No, it was a few nights ago. And she like runs in. She's like, is there like a man outside? Like, what is happening? Like, what's going on? So she's awake.
Say, there's an opossum.
There's a big opossum.
There's a big old fat opossum out here, wife.
Wife.
I was so miffed about this stupid possum. In my backyard.
You know what my least favorite thing about a possum is? Is that they hang upside down from trees with their tails. Does that even make sense to you?
No, because that's something cool that possums shouldn't have.
Yeah, it's like so weird that they do that. Why is that like a God-given like talent?
Yeah, you're right. Hey, so follow-up question. How much coffee do you consume over the course of a day?
It depends on the day. I've been trying to cut back, but with my sleep, I haven't been able to. So
9.
Seriously, like average the last like couple weeks, like 5 cups a day.
Okay.
It's good. It feels good.
Not all of that. A lot of that is
5 cups a day. How many ounces are we talking?
Just a coffee cup.
Ooh. Just a coffee mug.
So like
2,000 ounces.
Like 30?
30 ounces a day?
Yeah.
Oh, probably more than that.
That's a lot of coffee.
It's a lot of coffee. That's a lot of it's a lot of it is espresso as well because my wife got me an espresso maker for.
That's good, man.
That's better than normal coffee anyway.
It's great. I also got a grinder at home.
Oh, like, yeah, man. Like, you're big time.
My whole life is changing. But anyways, miffed about this stupid possum. Mm-hmm.
And no sleep.
And not sleeping.
So I have a grateful and blessed.
Lay it on us.
Today at 2 o'clock, my wife and I are going to pick up a brand new puppy.
What kind of puppy?
Are you serious?
It is a golden doodle.
Oh,
and
how old?
He is beautiful. He's a puppy. He's like 12 weeks, something like that.
Those get big.
He will be huge.
Those are huge.
Which is part of the reason that we have a little itty bitty Lhasa Apso. I don't know how to say that. And so we're getting a golden doodle
because they're awesome. Big
and he'll, you know, not probably protect anything.
One of my friends has a golden doodle.
Are you taking your other dog to make sure they get along?
No, we're going to take our other dog and put her down.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, my God. I completely believe
Sorry, we can only have one.
No, she's in perfectly good health.
There you're can just, like, only walking be around. One.
But what if they fight? What if they're enemies?
Then they fight to the death.
My dog, the other dog's 14, and so she goes to my grandmother's for most of the day, so whatever. They won't fight, I believe.
That's cool.
It is the reason we got a boy dog, though, instead of a girl dog.
What are you going to name your puppy, Spike?
I can't tell you those things.
No, you really need to tell us.
You're on next week.
Roxo?
No, we're going to name him Henry, is what we're naming him.
You gonna call him H-E for short?
We tried to go with, like, thunder names and different stuff like that. I was like, none of them felt cool.
Ibaka?
Yeah, Surge. Oh, Rumble.
Russell is such a good bulldog name.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, that's all. H-E, I can't wait to meet H-E.
Are you going
to
be miffed? Are you miffed?
I can't think of it.
Oh, no miffed. You blessed?
No.
Hey, Luke, you need to read some iTunes reviews.
All right, like,
what did you say?
All right, hit him with me. Hit him on me. Hit me with him. Guys, if you give us a 5-star iTunes review, we read them live on the podcast. And now we are going to read
53, 54,
some. Here is an iTunes review from Johnny Ho 34, who says, "Great pod for a great team. I love listening to this crew break down each game, the team, and organization the way only true homers can do. Each pod is like listening to me and my friends play poker while chatting about all sorts of random crap, including Thunderball. Coming out of this game one win, please help to rally some extra Thunder love by spending a few minutes talking about Mr. Thunder, Nick Collison." It's a little late for that, but it's okay. "From his 101-1 high school record with the Iowa Falls Cadets, P.S., I'm also Homer, his Big 12 and NABC Player of the Year accomplishment, and not to mention 13 seasons of team first basketball with OKC/Seattle, I'd love to hear your take on just how great it'd feel to get this guy an NBA title. Go Thunder."
It would feel great.
It would have felt great.
Hey, we still got one more year. That's true. Love Nick Collison, man. He's like, he's one of the most beloved players in the history of our franchise.
He's great. I love him.
Him and KD and Russ. I mean, that's it, really. Anyway.
All right. Our next iTunes review says, "Great pod. It is by Jack Carpenter. These guys put out a great podcast. It's always timely, enjoyable, and informative. Definitely a go-to podcast for OKC Thunder news. Also, Dion. # Waiters Island."
Hey, ooh, thanks for thank the review. You. Thank you.
Next.
Great # in the comments.
Next says, "This podcast is the Dion Waiters of podcast." I'm assuming that's what it says because it's cut it off. It's from In Suler, who says, "DTD is like Dion Waiters. Loud, brash, fashionable, confident, underrated. Others try to imitate the greatness that is DTD, but none can actually pull it off. To wrap it all up, these guys do their own thing and love it."
That's my favorite review that we've ever gotten.
That's pretty good.
My favorite about it is, like, you never know what the Dion comparison is.
I know.
Yeah, like how...
really great at getting to the rim and missing everything.
Incompetent. Thanks for listening to our podcast. We will we'll talk again. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.